No matter where you are, it's Texas Standard Time on this 23rd day of March, 2020. I'm David Brown. Great to have you with us. Over the weekend, Dallas County became the first in Texas to announce a shelter-in-place order, emulating steps taken from California to New York and beyond. But as we entered the studio on this Monday, Governor Abbott was still refusing to go further than his order issued Thursday, limiting public gatherings to 10 people, as well as closing schools and eating in restaurants and bars statewide. That order is in effect through April 3rd. But the Texas Tribune is reporting that with some 200 Texas counties reporting zero cases of coronavirus, the governor is resisting calls to expand his order, saying that the decision to force Texans to shelter in place is best made at the local level. The governor also announced a strike force focused on finding supplies to deal with the virus. Officials at hospitals in many metro areas are fearful they will soon be overwhelmed, unable to deal with rising numbers of patients. For a look at development statewide, we're joined by a panel of reporters covering different dimensions of this crisis. Allie Morris is a political reporter for the Dallas Morning News. Julian Aguilar is an immigration and border security reporter for the Texas Tribune. And Mitch Borden reports on the Permian Basin for Marfa Public Radio. Thanks to all of you for being here. But Allie, I want to turn to you first. You are writing that a hospital group is urging the governor to order a shelter in place for all Texas residents or hospitals could run out of beds due to treating COVID-19. Wasn't this, though, the same group who told the news a few days back that they had enough beds?
Yeah, that's right. This is the Dallas-Fort Worth Hospital Council, and they sent an urgent email over the weekend to members asking them to urge Abbott to take the step that governors in California and New York have done, ordering a shelter in place, because they sent out a projection to members showing that their beds could be overrun by late April if such a step is not taken. And I think those concerns really stem from a number of factors. One of them is just a lack of personal protective equipment that hospitals and clinicians have here in Texas. Those are the face masks, the gowns, the goggles that medical professionals need to be wearing when they're meeting a patient who is potentially ill with COVID-19 so that they themselves aren't infected and then taken out of the workforce.
Well, what about that strike force that the governor is proposing, or he has actually put together? He's hoping that there will soon be the materials that hospital officials are worried they're going to run out of.
Yeah, definitely. Governor Abbott made clear in his press conference yesterday that it's not a lack of money that we don't have these supplies. It's simply a lack of supply. And he is asking the federal government to try to get production of those supplies ramped up. And in addition, he did make some steps yesterday to try to expand hospital bed capacity. He ordered doctors and clinics to stop doing non-essential medical procedures in order to free up space. And he also suspended some rules to let hospitals treat more than one patient in a room to try to fit more people into these facilities.
And is it true that he is also saying that perhaps the National Guard could have some kind of role here?
Yeah, he organized the National Guard last week, and he hadn't given them any specific orders yet. But yesterday he said he's going to try to have members of the Guard help with testing or potentially be helping on the ground with some of these issues.
Julian, I want to bring you in. Julian Aguilar is reporting from El Paso for the Texas Tribune. The U.S. and Mexico governments have agreed to close the U.S.-Mexico border to non-essential travelers. And as a lot of our listeners know, Julian, this is an important lifeline for Juarez and for El Paso as people cross that border to come and go to work and to school and that sort of thing, to shop. What's behind this decision, and what is non-essential versus essential travel in this case?
What's behind the decision is just kind of what's going on across the globe with, you know, countries trying to seal off their borders, or not completely seal off, I should say, but limit travel the same way the United States and Mexico agreed to. So, yes, this wasn't a mandate thrown down by either government. This was something that both federal governments agreed to slow the spread. And what they're labeled as essential travel, folks that can still go back and forth, are folks that travel, you know, if you have a caretaker or if you're in the medical profession, if you're an educator. And I think probably the biggest, not concession, but I think the biggest guarantee that both countries offered each other was that trade was going to continue. This is large bulk commercial trade. Obviously, Texas and Mexico trade, you know, billions of dollars a year. The country is Texas's largest trading partner, and the United it's in the top, you know, one or two with the United States, depending on where
Right.
China is. So this is definitely going to boost the economies of both. But what's going to happen is it's not going to affect the folks, say, that I spoke with on Saturday morning that run the small little mom and pop shops, right? I mean, you have little clothing stores, you know, stores that sell food and groceries to folks, and people go back and forth several times a week sometimes to buy supplies and then take them across. So I spoke with several people that were in El Paso Friday morning before the bridges closed at midnight, trying to get supplies either for their house or for their small business. So they're going to be out on the Mexican side, and you know exactly what's happening there. But with the American shop owners, one woman said that they're down to a workforce of 3 from 7 in just the last week.
Wow.
Because business had already slowed down. Another woman asked me how she was going to pay her rent, given that 95% of her clientele was from Juarez and Chihuahua. So again, the fact that they kept legitimate trade and commerce in this provision is huge, and we're going to see down the road that it's going to be very helpful to the economy. But those folks, as you know, the bartenders and the servers and the folks that, you know, across the state that are going to be affected by this, by not having that supply line and that income, they're going to be really hitting the pocketbook.
I have to ask you about immigrant detention right now. Are there any signs that it's actually accelerated, or that it's dropped off, or what are you hearing on that front?
The biggest thing that we're hearing is just a growing chorus of folks getting louder and louder every single day, clamoring for some sort of relief to get some of these folks out, you know, whether that's an ankle monitor, alternatives of detention, paroling them out. What immigrant rights groups and their attorneys are really, really afraid of is that, you know, a few people are going to get sick inside these detention centers and it's just going to spread like wildfire. What makes it worse, DHS's track record over the last year where so many folks have perished in Border Patrol custody or ICE custody, so, you know, they say, look, that proves that the medical facilities, that the medical care inside these detention complexes are not good enough under normal circumstances. So just imagine what's going to happen now. And also, as recently as Sunday evening, you had three different groups of immigration judges, ICE officials, and immigration attorneys, you know, kind of strange bedfellows. They're all kind of uniting again to clamor to close the immigration courts because the detained docket is still going on, which means people that are in detention are traveling right in these vans. They're going into crowded courtroom sitting shoulder to shoulder, which is the exact opposite of social distancing.
Right. I want to bring in Mitch Borden of Marfa Public Radio. He's been covering the Permian Basin, Midland, Texas, confirming its first coronavirus case on Friday. Mitch, what's known about that case and how's the city responding to it?
What's known about this case, it's a man in his 60s, and he traveled domestically for his job, and it's believed that he picked this up somewhere in the United States. He seemed last the hospital spoke about him. They said he was recovering. And it's also believed that there are 3 to 4 other people at Midland Memorial that are exhibiting signs of the coronavirus right now.
I see. We've been reporting on a dramatic crash in oil prices, which is going to have fundamental long-term effects for the Permian Basin. Part of that clearly linked to coronavirus, part of it linked to other market forces, including this fight between Saudi Arabia and Russia. But how is that dramatic oil crash affecting how people are responding to this health crisis there?
Well, I mean, earlier this week before the governor put out his executive orders, you know, you saw local officials really kind of, you know, trying to balance public health and the economy. They didn't want to shut down restaurants. They didn't want to close down bars because, you know, they're already looking down a barrel of a recession. So any limitation on the economy out here, they felt like was detrimental to their residents. But, you know, now with the orders by the governor, you know, they're just trying to look to help restaurants any way they can. But, you know, there's only so much they can do, especially with the oil prices, you know, in the low 20s right now.
I have to ask, since the economy is such a big issue there for the Permian Basin, it was before all of these shelter-in-place calls, is there a sense of urgency that you're hearing, Mitch, from medical professionals there, or is there a sense in these communities where, you know, you have a lot of people spread out over a larger area, is there less of a sense of urgency? What are you hearing?
I'm not hearing a huge sense of urgency yet. I think we're getting there. I think with a lack of masks. That's becoming more apparent in the Midland Hospital, where it's actually asking oil companies to donate industrial grade masks. I think with the corona, the COVID-19 patient that was identified last week, I think that's showing the urgency in officials are becoming more apparent. And I think we're getting there. It hasn't been there. The economy has been the main focus up until late last week.
Mitch Borden reporting on the Permian Basin for Marfa Public Radio. We also heard from Julian Aguilar, immigration and border security reporter for the Texas Tribune, and Allie Morris, political reporter for the Dallas Morning News, covering different aspects of this crisis. Folks, thanks so much for spending a couple of minutes of your Monday to talk with us on the Texas Standard. We certainly do appreciate it.
No problem.
Thanks
for having us on.